Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to once again welcome those joining us on the radio side of our program at 92.3 FM. We also welcome those listening to us through DCNowRadio.com, as well as through BlogTalkRadio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad that you all could join us. We have an amazing half hour coming up for you guys today. We're going to kick things off by speaking to recording artist Chad Cachula. He's someone who's getting ready to celebrate the release of his new album, A Fire. But he's here to talk to us not only about his love and passion for music, but also to talk to us about what keeps him going and also what he recommends for all of us who have a dream about the importance of never letting go of it. At 16 minutes past the hour, we're welcoming back best-selling author Martin Kine. He's had an amazing year as well. His book, Bad Dog, which I got to talk to him about last year, is now in paperback as well as an audiobook. Of course, he's also celebrating the release of the television version of his book, House of Lies, starring Don Cheadle. He's going to talk to us about his amazing year and also what it's been like for him to be able to share his story of sobriety and what he hopes we're all are able to take away from his journey. Again, a great half hour coming up. Glad you all could join us for the show. As I said, we have Chad Cachula joining us live here at the top of the program. Chad, welcome to Conversations Live.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Chad, you know, your story is really amazing to me, and I'm glad that you're able to come on. Over the past 8.5 years, I've interviewed a lot of recording artists, and what I like about you is that you have been able not only to find a way to pursue your passion, but you haven't let anything sway you from it. So why don't you tell our listeners, when did you first realize that music was going to be your vehicle?
I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago. I was recording on a 4-track recorder, and I was just listening to, you know, just refining my sound and finding my voice and refining my songwriting and such like that. And I thought I was kind of getting fairly good at it to the point that I could probably start playing in front of people. I wasn't sure how far I was actually going to want to go, but I think part of my nature is just to keep pushing forward and almost kind of like never satisfied kind of thing. You know, you play, like when I first started playing music, I thought, you know, a coffee shop with a few people in it. And then once you do that, you just want more, you know? So it's, I guess it's a constant drive.
Right, right. And that constant drive have led you not only to garner fans that you've been able to meet, but also, of course, a new audience online. As you hear the pride that people have in your work, but also the appreciation that you have for the craft, to see that that's being seen the way that it is, does that kind of make you feel good not only about doing music, but also being true to it as well?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, the kind of music that I write and that I perform isn't pop music per se. And yeah. So for people to appreciate where the song comes from, you know, the lyrics, the story, the depth of the song, that's what's important to me. And those are the artists that I listen to. Like, I listen to Springsteen, Johnny Cash, Steve Earle. I do listen to other stuff like the Black Keys, which may not be as, like, have that kind of depth. But I do really like Bob Dylan songs where you can really get into them more than what the music is. And I try and do that on my own music. And the fact that I've had some success at it and I have people that, you know, enjoy the music is all the more, you know. Because, you know, it all just started, you know, strumming a guitar in your room, you know. So, you know, it's all good. Some people have had success much quicker. You know, I would never say easier because I'm sure there's a road that everyone's taken, you know, that's unknown. But, you know, success for me has been a slow step. Each small steps, keep working away at it. Always writing, always recording, always booking shows, no matter if, you know, you didn't have a good turnout on one show on one night or maybe the record, you know, you didn't sell, but you got some good feedback, but you didn't make money at it. You just go back to work. You know, my day job, go back to work, make enough money that you could put some aside to go back into the studio. And I don't know if and when I'm ever going to stop at it, you know, like it's, you know, I just finished this record here recording in September, and I've been writing songs like crazy this month for, you know, for another project coming up. So even though this project hasn't even been released yet, so I think you know, just never slowing down, never stopping, you know, because just keeping the momentum going just with yourself.
Exactly. I think that's a really good point, Chad. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Chad Cotrula. He's talking to us not only about his passion that he has for music. He was sharing with us that really about 7-8 years ago that he knew this was going to be a vehicle for him. And also, Chad, you have been very open about yourself personally. I know some artists try to keep that that wall up where, you know, this is their profession and the rest of the life, you know, is really not as much the business of listeners. But you are very open about the fact, as you mentioned here, that you have another occupation that you do, but this is something that you don't see yourself giving up on. Is that sometimes a challenge for you? Because I think a lot of times, and you bring up a really good point, where sometimes people get frustrated. They don't see things happening the way that they want it to, and they just give it up. You haven't done that. Talk to us about how you're able to overcome those fears that can come, and also the naysayers that can come as well.
Well, the first part you're saying is the day job and the music go hand in hand for me, and I kind of avoided that story for a while, like what you're talking about, like what I do and who I am,
right,
even in my music and such like that, until like about 2 years ago I was thinking, you know, who does what I do, you know, and still pursues music? And I'm sure there's people that do similar stuff, but I think it's interesting that I just don't sit home, you know, write songs and you know, maybe go do a waitering job or a waitressing job like many of my peers do, you know, so they have the flexibility to tour. I started up my own business cutting and pruning trees when I was 12 years ago, and that kind of work is extremely physical and demanding, and you're challenging yourself all the time. Like about half an hour ago, I was 60 feet up a poplar tree. You know, like it's stuff that not a lot of people do. So this last album I wrote about, you know, what it's like to work for a living, what it's like to start, you know, making very, very little money, trying to have success, you know, on your own terms. And that's what the album's really about, a subject that I really was not really thinking about or writing about in my previous albums. I just thought I was an average Joe, like, what's interesting about that? But, you know, everybody's got a story. And so on that side of things, how to keep going without the naysayers? You know, it's tough, but... Because, like, I did have an album review on an EP that I had about 7 years ago that was really negative about my singing. And I took that to art, but then I actually went and I was like, okay, well, maybe they're right. And I did work on my vocals, and I did, and I think I'm a better singer now than I was back in 2007. That said, you can't take everything that somebody says negative or positive, you know, 100%. I think you have to believe in yourself first. And it makes it a little easier when someone else doesn't necessarily believe in you, you know, to be able to handle that. Because if you believe you're good and you believe in what you're writing is good, then you can keep going. If someone thinks you're average or pedestrian or what have you, you know, that can make you stop really quick. And I think a lot of people do quit after their first album or maybe their first few songs or what have you, whatever they do in art form. And the thing is that if you're always wanting to improve, maybe your first efforts weren't that good, you know, or maybe they
right.
were, but if you believed in them and you believe you can improve, then every piece of art that you put forward is going to be better than the last. Then why stop? You know,
exactly.
Because eventually you're going to make it, I think.
I think that's a really good point, Chad. You know, why stop? I mean, why let someone else control your dream is what I've always thought. Chad Cotrula, everyone, who we're speaking to, he just mentioned, of course, his new project. He is more personal, and the project he's talking about is Fire. It's coming out on May the 15th. One of the things that happens now, as I did today, if you go and pre-order it, the digital copy, you actually get two free songs. One of the songs that you hear is Reason to Believe. As we go to break, that's what we're going to listen to. Chad, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what you hope our listeners take away from Afire and also let them know how to get their own copy and pre-order it today, okay?
Sure. Yeah,
here's Chad again with Reason to Believe. We'll be right back with more Conversations Live. Stay with us. That was Reason to Believe. As I mentioned, if you go now and actually pre-order his new album, Afire, when you get the digital copy to pre-order it, it's only $5. You get two free tracks. That is one of the free tracks that you get immediately. Talk to us about, again, you mentioned, Chad, the personal nature of this one, because you really give us more of you. What do you hope listeners are able to take away from this album as they're able to learn more about you?
I hope in this album that someone that listens to it finds themselves in it too. Like, I don't think I'm all that different from any other person walking down the street, and I think I'm digging a little deeper into who I am and what drives me and you know, why I get up in the morning, do, you know, go to work, come home, the family, everything. And I think I was searching for what drives us all and what pushes us forward and what directions that some of us take, and some of us take different directions and opposing directions. And I'm hoping that when people listen to it, they find pieces of themselves in there. They find, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about that. Or maybe it's something more subtle that they don't even realize, but I hope they get a good feeling off of the record and feel that their own challenges that they've had can be represented in some of the material that's in this album.
Exactly. Well, they can find out more information about you on Facebook and Twitter as well, but you have a website set up also, Chad, where they can get the album. Go ahead and give them the website.
Yeah, it's chadkichula.com. It's chadkichula.com. And if you Google it, they come up with every other spelling because my name is misspelled and mispronounced more than you'd ever know. And thank you for pronouncing it correctly, too. It's a rarity. That's where it is. And then on that, you'll find the Bandcamp site where you can pre-order for $5. You can download the two songs right away. And then the other ones you can download on release day. They send you an email that you can now download the rest of the album on release day. And, you know... $5. You hear the first track, and you can hear the other track online. And if it's something that you're into, I hope you'll take a chance on it.
Yeah, well, I definitely was glad to do so. Again, as you mentioned, only $5. You can go get the digital copy. Pre-order it today. A Fire is the title. It comes actually out officially May 15th, but you get two free tracks as soon as you do purchase it. One of those is the single you just heard, Reason to Believe. Chad, thank you so much for coming on and taking out the time to be with us. I really appreciate it, and we wish you nothing but continued success.
Well, thank you very much, too, for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to do it. We're going to take a very quick 30-second break. When we come back, we have best-selling author Martin Kine is joining us again to talk to us not only about his journey with the book Bad Dog, but also how life has been really good for him. The new paperback version of the book is out, as well as the audiobook. We're going to talk to him about all of that and more. You're listening to Conversations Live here at 92.3 FM through DCNowRadio.com, as well as through BlogTalkRadio.com. Stay with us.
Geico has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And we welcome you back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. We're glad you could be with us. Well, you've gotten the music side of our program today through my conversation with Chad Kichula. Now it's time to turn to one of my favorite things, of course, which is books. Best-selling author Martin Kine is back with us, and I welcome him back because I chose his book, Bad Dog, as one of my books for the spring, especially for those that are animal lovers. Martin is back to talk to us about all the great things that have been happening since the official release of Bad Dog last year. Of course, it's now in paperback and audiobook. Martin, welcome back to Conversations Live.
Hi, Cyrus. Great to be back.
Well, glad to have you back, and congratulations again on this book. I actually, when I was putting the list together for our last issue of the magazine, and it was coming to spring reads, I knew this was one I wanted to add. I really enjoyed our last conversation, and the book really struck me as well. Now, since you and I first talked last year, about the same time, the book has been released on paperback and also now through audiobook. Talk to us about the response and how you are continually being approached by people who have been impacted by your story.
Yeah, it's been surprising. I guess I'm saying surprising because I'm Irish and by nature pessimistic. So I expect nothing but the worst for all of my endeavors. So I've been actually very pleasantly surprised, luckily, at the response. It's come in two flavors. I mean, the book, as you know, is about my book Bad Dog is about my own journey of recovery from alcoholism and journey of my dog, who was a poorly behaved dog, being trained to rehabilitate herself, in a sense.
Yeah.
So it was our parallel journeys. And so the people, the response I've been getting are people in the recovery world who are responding to that part of it. And then there are also the dog people. And in a way, the dog people are even more enthusiastic, in particular the Bernese Mountain Dog people. There's a huge underground community of Bernese Mountain Dog lovers, and my dog is one of them. And those people have embraced this book wholeheartedly, which really surprised me because, as you know, there's a lot of alcohol talk in there,
yeah,
which I didn't think would appeal to them. But
well, I
it's
think
a therapeutic
Mark,
dog, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and not only that, I think the way that you're able to tell your story, I think you can't help but find some way that it resonates with you. You know, I never personally had a problem with alcohol, but I think we can all kind of substitute whatever our issues have been with yours in the book as we're reading it and what has kind of helped us through. It's interesting, the relationship with your dog and the way that you talked about the dog in the book. I was going back through my notes from our last conversation, and I came across one page that I had marked that I didn't discuss with you last time, but I thought would be interesting and appropriate to discuss this time. It's on page 70 of the hardcover book, and you're talking about, of course, your relationship with Ola. This is what you wrote. "What I don't know is that all my fears are misplaced, and I am the one who is wrong. Ola can do all these things and much, much more. Everything she needs, she has, and there is nothing standing between her and a triumphant, a well-ordered life, nothing but me." And I think what I thought about, Martin, when I came across that, and as I think about how all of us have our challenges, how that sometimes it takes someone else to help us to get out of our own way. Talk to us about how your dog was able to do that for you and how that is part of what you're sharing with people, how sometimes we need that assistance to get out of our own way to make the changes that we need to.
Well, when I was younger, my father said something to me once that stuck with me, and I didn't quite understand it at the time, but he said, "Your only enemy is yourself." Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember the context, but that line stuck with me over the years, and there's a lot of truth to that. I think in terms of Ola, I started this whole process thinking that she was just a badly behaved dog, and in fact I'd given up on her. I thought, I'm just stuck with this dog. But in reality, the truth about her was that she was actually a very intelligent dog and had a lot of good potential as an obedience trial prospect. So trainers would tell me that she actually could compete in obedience, which is absolutely not what I thought. So the problem wasn't Ola. The problem was something else, and you didn't have to look very far to see it. It was just my absolute ignorance of dog training. So what it took, I mean, at a deeper level, it took my own commitment to her and also getting over this idea that there was something fundamentally wrong with her. And I think that a lot of people in recovery have that problem. I certainly did. I all but gave up on myself. And I said, well, there's just something wrong with me, and I'm an addict or whatever, and there's no hope. But once we can get past that, there's really so much there, so much potential. In fact, we could all be obedience trial champions, I think, in a sense. But we do. You're right, though. You hit it on there. We do need help, whether that help comes from a dog trainer, as I tried to be to Ola, or a higher power or whatever. But none of us can do it alone, I would say.
We can't do it alone, Martin, and I think your story, the reason why it continues to resonate, the last year in hardcover and now in paperback and audio, is that there are so many parts of it. Again, as I mentioned, you know, we can all substitute our own thing through your story. There's the other great part of the book that we did discuss last time, but just to kind of mention it for our listeners today, where you were told and reminded that it wasn't that Ola didn't know the commands. She knew the commands. That wasn't her problem. Her problem was you. You were freaking her out, as you were told. And you went on to admit, even in that part of the book, in just talking about how honest you are with the reader and also yourself, and saying that you didn't know really another way to be. You know, that it would be easier for her, the way you termed it in the book, was for her to jump through a flaming tire than for you to be able to calm it down. So talk about that part of the relationship and why this is, I think, so much of a give and take. Because just as our animals need us, we need them too. And just like they, can learn from us, we can learn from them too. Talk to us about the art of letting go and how you were able to get that partially from Ola, but also from those around you who love you.
Well, it's often difficult for us, and I know it was very difficult for me as a recovering alcoholic, to realize I'd had an effect on the people around me, that that any relationship I was in, any deep relationship I was in, I was impacting them, people, in a positive or negative way. And we all do. Any relationship we have an effect on others. And the way that the Ola, my dog, was such a good analogy in a way to any relationship is that she was a magnifier. So she reflected me back to myself. And dogs are extremely, much more than I thought, in tune to human beings, particularly our body language. They don't speak our human language, but they can pick up in a way much more subtle cues than we know that we're giving off. So my anxiety, my constant anxiety, my pessimism that I was joking about at the beginning, all of that was being communicated to her loud and clear. And she was taking that on herself and expressing it back at me. And so in a way, all of her jumpiness and her nervousness and her difficulty in life was partly just a reflection of my own. It was what I was giving off. And it's not just Ola. It was, you know, it was my wife and my friends, coworkers, people around me. And that's true for all of us, I think.
Right.
All of us have people that we're attracted to or are positive and give off good energy. And it's true on the other side as well. So as you said, it's a give and take. It's a relationship. We're a system. And dog trainers, any animal trainer will say that as well. They'll say, Cesar Millan, you know, he's slightly controversial, but he's very much into you've got to meditate, you've got to calm yourself down in order to have a calm dog.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are wonderful teachers. They really are.
And I think, you know, it's really up to us, as you outline in the book, it's really up to us to be willing to learn, to be able to learn the lessons. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with bestselling author Martin Kine. He's talking with us about his book, Bad Dog. I initially spoke with him last year, but the book is now available in paperback and audiobook. But you have a lot of other things going on as well, Martin. I mentioned at the outset for our listeners who joined us at the top of the show, House of Lies, of course, you have that project, being able to see how people are responding to that, of course, what gives new life to the book. When you look at your overall journey, as you step back from Bad Dog and just look at what you've been able to accomplish, not only as an author, but, of course, as a writer for television as well, what has it been like to know that your work continues to resonate? Do you think that's just the power of the word, or is it a testament to the passion you have for the words?
I don't really know. I do know, though, I've written a lot of things over the years that have essentially gone nowhere, that haven't succeeded or haven't been published or whatever. I think every writer's that way. We have a stack of things that didn't work. And those things that did work, like Bad Dog or House of Lies in a different way, which is about a memoir of being a disgruntled management consultant, essentially, those came from my heart, and in a way, they were very easy to write. I mean, I worked hard at them, but they came out because I had something to say. And I think that the ones that didn't work, when I look back, I've been trying to figure this out recently. The ones that didn't work were ones where I was trying to figure out what would sell, or I was trying to imitate something that was popular. For some reason, even though I'm a smart guy and I think a good writer, couldn't pull it off. But when I had something like, you know, who would think that people would enjoy a book about a recovering alcoholic trying to train his dog? But it was a true story, and,
right.
You know, I had something I really wanted to communicate, and it was a good message. So I don't know if there's any kind of lesson in there. There certainly is for me. I don't think we can pick the topics, actually. I think they pick us.
So when you look at it, of course, you know, you have been recognized for your work in television, recognized for your work now as an author. Do you see the experiences that we get to go through with you in Bad Dog? Do you see those best helping you to prepare you for where you are now with the success that you're garnering not only with this book but also with new projects as well?
Well, I think as anyone who's recovering from some serious addiction would tell you, the most important thing is not to go back, for me, not to go back to drinking. So I feel in a pretty solid space. There's no guarantees in life. So I think that's good. And this book definitely helped me. It was part of what we call 12th step work, which is sharing our experience, strength, and hope. So I tried to share my experience, strength, and hope with other people, and I think I did touch some people with this to encourage them with their own problems.
Right.
So that's good, and I feel good about that. It's sort of healthy and life-affirming. But, I'm still in many ways the same sort of struggling neurotic character I always was, I try to have a slightly more of a sense of humor about it.
Right.
And my relationships are better. All I can do is just try to improve slightly.
Right. Right. And I think that's really, Martin, all any of us can do. I think each day is an opportunity for us to be the best of ourselves. And I think if we're able to take anything away from Bad Dog, A Love Story, I think for me it is not being afraid to let who you are show through,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that you're able to bring that in each and every day. And that way it's a lot easier for life because you're able to just be more authentic and be more genuine. And people will be able to tell that, people and dogs will be able to tell just that. Again, we've been speaking to best-selling author Martin Kine. His book, Bad Dog, A Love Story, is available now not only in hardcover, paperback, but also as an audio book as well. He's active on Facebook and Twitter. You can find him at both of those places. But, Martin, you have a website also. Go ahead and give that out for our listeners.
Sure. It's Martin Kine, KIHN.com. And then Ola, my dog, has a Facebook page, Bad Dog Book, Facebook Bad Dog Book.
And Martin, our second time around, and I was pronouncing your last name wrong. You didn't even correct me.
No, it is actually pronounced Kine. You're right, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I say Kine just because it's easier to spell. You were right, Cyrus.
Okay, look, I was, I always try to make sure.
You did it.
Okay, all right. So it is Kine.
No,
because I always freak out because I know what it's like to have your name mispronounced. So I try. Okay, all right. So Martin, thank you so much for coming back on. Looking forward to staying in contact with you and wishing you nothing but the best on the next project.
Appreciate it, Cyrus. Thank you very much.
No problem. If you missed any part of my conversation with Martin or with Chad Cachula, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website at www.conversationsliveradio.com. That's www.conversationsliveradio.com. If you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's already active on both of those sites. And if you're following me on Twitter, I've actually tagged both Martin and Chad in the link. So you'll be able to go to my page and be able to also to follow them from mine as well. That's going to do it for us for this part of our program. Thank you all so much for joining us. Until next time, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Take care.